This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Our buddy from Fox Sports 1, John Fanta, joining us here. It's Jake Volnick, Jonathan Peterlin with you guys on Afternoon Drive. John, how are we doing today?
Doing well, guys. It's great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me, and love being on with you guys every Tuesday afternoon. A lot of fun.
Every Tuesday at 4, and now usually Nick is the one driving, and I'm sitting there playing in the two chair, and so Nick's out today. He's out tomorrow, but we never get a chance to talk about my bowling prowess then because, how do you bring that up organically, right? Well, you can't, and so I just need to tell you and let you know. Right. Do you know anything about my bowling ability or lack thereof or whatever you want to call it?
I don't, and I'd love to see you ball. You'll have to send over some videos. I'll show EJ Tackett and Dick Weber and whatnot.
Okay, so I'm retired now. I need to let you know that I'm retired now. I was on a scholarship for Lindenwood University, so I was a bowler all the way up until then, and then me and Brad Miller crossed paths briefly. Then that was it. Like, you know, because Brad was a couple years younger than me, and then him and Kyle Sherman are now like killing it on YouTube. But what's great, I need to tell you the story though, because like, so I love bowling, obviously. So I did it every day for a million years. It was a thing I did, and I loved it. And obviously, I went to school on a bowling scholarship, right? So like, and you know, Lindenwood, I always tell people that don't know bowling, Lindenwood is like, it's like Oregon of college bowling, in that we've won a couple titles. We're good. We're not a heritage program, but we still put some people to the pros, and it just is what it is. But when it comes to like staying active in the sport, like I lost my way, and then all these YouTube stars, and Brad and Kyle being one of them, has brought me back in, and so now I listen to you do these PBA. I heard you do the PBA Delaware Open a couple weeks ago. You do fantastic on there, John.
Well, I appreciate that, and that's very cool that you had your bowling career. I meant Pete Weber as well as aging there. But I'll tell you what, it's a fun sport. And what the guys go through every single week to make a television show, I'm proud to do it for Fox Sports. It's amazing. I mean, you're talking about a tournament where the field's like 100 players, and you got to get down to 5 by the end of the week that then are going to bowl on the show. These guys are bowling not 1 or 2 or 3 games of bowling a day. They're bowling 15, 20, 25 games of bowling a day just to be able to make it on a show between their training, between their actually qualifying. It's unreal. Last year I covered a guy. He was in pre-tournament qualifier, so he had to just do something just to make it to the qualifying stage. He drove 12 hours from Missouri to Delaware and, overnight, didn't sleep, qualified, made it to the show, won. And he was exempt on the tour. And it was an American dream coming true. The guy was crying his eyes out. So it's a cool sport. It gets a lot of viewership, a lot of attention on social media. And there's really a niche following for it. And honestly, growing up in Northeast Ohio, I spent many a Friday night at Fairview Lanes or Bay Lanes. I mean, we got a lot of really good bowling alleys, bowling centers across the area.
No, it's great. And like,
Buckeye as well.
And Randy Peterson is kind of like, for those that don't know, he's basically like, I call him like the Troy Aikman of PBA broadcasters that way. Like, and so the tandem you guys have, you know what I love about you, John, in those broadcasts? You bring some enthusiasm to the game that is very hard to be able to do, because bowling at the heart of it does not have much enthusiasm.
I appreciate that, and that means a lot for you to say, and you know what? That's my goal. I mean, look, when you grow up and the voices of your teams are Tom Hamilton, Joe Tate, wham, with the right hand, and Jim Donovan, who as far as I'm concerned, Jimmy is just one of one, as is Hammy. Tom Hamilton will call me two or three times a year and just talk with me for an hour about sportscasting and life. And so we not only have great voices in Cleveland, and we have plenty of them on the fan, we have really, really good people, too, who get the city. And we should never take that for granted, the voices we have in our town.
And now I get to follow up all the bowling talk. I get to be the one to break this up. You guys had your moment, and now I have to be like, okay.
Well,
I
was one more question away from pitching John an idea that. So at one point, I pitched the Guardians broadcast crew the idea that any broken bat single up the middle, we'd call it a Jonathan Peterlin, because it happens like once or twice a season, and they'd just be like, oh, a Jonathan Peterlin up the middle, and it would just seamlessly work. And I was about one question away from coming up with the bowling version of that you could just work your way into the broadcast. But we're not there yet, John.
We'll get there. We're not Hey, I'm thinking about baseball, though. I'm excited. I'm gearing up for this team. I thought the Means signing was big. That's a big signing by the Guardians to be able to shore up their rotation. This rotation's got upside, guys. When you look at it from top to bottom, Gavin Williams, I expect to continue to grow. You know, I'm very curious to see what we're going to see out of Tristan McKenzie. Ortiz, to me, is intriguing as well. And look, I mean, Tanner Bibee, that guy he's just a gunslinger, and he's a fierce competitor. So I'm excited for baseball season. I think, like, last year that ride was just utterly wild out of nowhere. And now you're curious to see, is the lineup strong enough? Look, does the lineup resemble the Yankees or the Dodgers? It never is going to. But I'm just curious to see how this young talent continues to grow, and I'm really curious to see a full year of Kyle Manzardo. A full off season, everything with him. Can he now channel it and piece it all together?
All right, John, let me drag you over to the Browns. As we look at a quarterback for number two, and we look between Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, it feels like Shedeur's sort of taken over as the top option and what is a lot of people talking about around here. Does it matter to you which guy they go to, or is it just that they take a guy at two?
Well, I think it – look, they have to get this right. And I don't have a strong preference one way or the other. This is the last shot here for this regime to get something right. I mean, some people have believed that this front office is overstayed. It's welcome. And frankly, you know, they're out of options here. I mean, they have to get this right at number two. Look, Sanders, to me, his accuracy, his proven track record as a productive starter, I think that this is a guy like... I know the buzz factor. I get it with his father, and we know that that's always going to be a part of his story. But look at the player, and the accuracy really stands out for what he was able to do. I like Cam Ward. It's not that I don't. I don't know. If you're asking me today, I'm going to lean towards Sanders. When I'm watching these two on tape, which I've watched some this past week, there's a couple of concerns with the accuracy piece with Ward and with his – for me, I think Sanders presents some more upside at number two. That would be my preference here, and we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm going to be really curious. You know, there were some mocks this morning that talked about Abdul Carter at number one. You know, is he the best overall talent in this draft? And there's a part of me that says yes. He is the best overall talent in this draft, but that's not the most important talent in this draft. The most important talent is always going to be the quarterback position. And for the Cleveland Browns, I know this has been a hot topic on your guys' show. Mm-hmm. Look, the fact of the matter is this. If you don't nail it at that position, what else really matters? Because the Browns just learned that the hard way. They nailed it at a lot of other positions, but they didn't have it at the quarterback position. In fact, they had the furthest thing from it. So I'm on the Shedeur train right now. There's still time, but I would go with Sanders at number two.
Yeah, and you know, he has only really cemented home the idea that he wants to play for the Browns too. Like, so many people are like, oh, he doesn't want to play for the Browns. His dad will never let him come to the Browns. And everywhere you turn around, he's like, oh no, I play with the Browns on Madden, or I want to do. He's just constantly showing you ways that he wants to be a member of this team.
That's a big thing. I mean, that to me sends a message to the city. After there were some early rumors of the other side of that's certainly not true. And look, Cam Ward is a fantastic talent as well, who had 39 touchdowns to 7 picks this past year. You know, broke that touchdown record. There was speculation on, did he quit on his team? He's a very, very talented player. But Shadur, I am fascinated with him. I think his talent level, his playmaking ability, he's got a pocket presence about him, but he can get out of there and make something happen. And he gets it. All his answers that you're seeing the last couple of weeks about him wanting, you know, that he has a desire to play for the Cleveland Browns. I mean, those are big green lights if you're the Browns front office. And now it's just a matter of evaluating talent. The questions of, can they get it right? Well, look, they've been in front office said they have not found that in the draft, but this is their shot to do it. And I'm with you guys. Like, the signs point to Shadur Sanders being an ideal option at number two. I think he's going to be there for the Browns. I don't think they should trade back. I think they have to just evaluate. They have to look at everything from the combine. They have to talk through things, and they have to go from there. But I like Shadur Sanders as this process continues to go along, because, guys, if you looked at what he did at Colorado and you looked at what he did this past year, it certainly helps to have a Travis Hunter. Watching him throw the football, it's very convincing. It says NFL. It says that he can pan out at this next level. So between that and the maturation and the kid's willingness to say, you know what, I'm happy being a Cleveland Brown. I don't know about you guys, but a lot checks out to me. And we still got a ways to go in this process. But if his name's called at number two and he's smiling up on that draft stage, I think all of us should be smiling as well. Because if you're the Cleveland Browns, you got to get your future. You got to get a guy who wants to be here. And he's making it known he does.
John, now I'm sort of bothered by the idea with Myles Garrett that people frame it as he's doing the team a favor. He's doing the city a favor by requesting a trade while he still has value. In my eyes, he's thinking about Myles Garrett. That's what he's worried about. Am I wrong in thinking that?
No. Myles Garrett, there's two separate points. Both can be true. Myles Garrett has had a fantastic run as a Cleveland Brown. Myles Garrett is prioritizing himself, as he should. Those can both be true. They don't mesh together, okay? He's thinking of his own best interests here. He's not doing the Browns a favor. Are you kidding me? It could end up working out for the Browns, but he's not doing it as a favor. That's ridiculous. Take your heart and emotion out of it. No matter how much you love Myles Garrett, and God, I love him. And you know what? If you don't like him, then you're allowed to have your opinion, but that's ridiculous too. He gave this franchise hard-earned years of Pro Bowl Hall of Fame level service. And he's done a lot of good for Cleveland. And he's part owner of the Cavs. And he's been a terrific part of the city. If you want to blame anybody, you blame the people that have been running this franchise for not giving him a plan that he agreed to, because it's ridiculous that he wants out of town that we've gotten to this point. I don't blame him for wanting out, but the idea that he's doing the organization a favor, and that you should be thanking Miles for doing them a favor, come on. Because who's to say the assets that they get back that they'll know how to use, that they'll know what to do? He's not doing them a favor. He's a fantastic talent who is prioritizing winning a championship, something that the Browns are not going to be close to next year. They're just not. Or the year after that. I know things can shift. I get it. But it takes a lot more than just a pick at number two now. And this organization is in a challenging spot with the money. Myles Garrett is looking out for himself. Remove the emotion and the heart of it. Be thankful that you got to watch him in a Browns uniform. He had a great run as a Cleveland Brown, but he's thinking of himself. Both things can be true, except reality.
John Fanta, Fox Sports 1, joining us here. Local kid done good, and 92.3 The Fan. I want to ask you one college basketball question, because you're deep entrenched into the sport. Yeah, I think it's a really good thing in this upcoming NBA draft. Last year, I thought it was awful. It was a lot of foreign players and a lot of players that we didn't see play basketball. Cooper Flagg probably going to go number one. Dylan Harper, Ron Harper's kid, probably going to go number two. In fact, Rutgers has two kids that will probably be in the top five. I know one of them has been injured for a stretch here. Is Rutgers going to be like a force come March Madness?
No, they're not even going to sniff the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, why are they not good? It makes no sense if you got two top five players.
Because you got to be old to win in college basketball, and you have to have some veteran talent. Duke went into the transfer portal; they did bring in a couple of veteran talents, whether it be Mason Gillis or a Sion James to help with Flagg, and they also have a super team. I mean, Con Knipple's unbelievable. Tyrese Proctor's a veteran guard who's surging along, and Cooper Flagg he's a unicorn. Cooper Flagg is the best defensive basketball prospect I've seen in over 10 years. His feel for the game on that end of the floor is through the roof. And the scoring has come along. The shooting has come along. He just checks off every box, and that's why he's going to be the number one pick this June. Look, the reason why Rutgers won't be a force is because they didn't budget any money for the remainder of their roster. This is pro sports. It's pro sports in every way. Like, does Cleveland State have a budget or a wallet? Well, not at their level, not in their conference like this, but if you're a high major program, if you're Ohio State basketball, like you're Ohio State football, you are managing money. You're managing a roster, and you're doing speed dating when that portal opens. So for a Rutgers, the portal opened, they're like, well, we've got X amount of dollars. You know, we've saved up, I don't know, I'm going to say like $100,000, $120,000. Well, what, for 7-8 players? That's not that much money. You know, kids now, a good player at the high major level is demanding a couple $100,000. There are going to be rosters next year that are worth $7, $8, $9 million in college basketball. That's the world that we live in now. A.J. DeBonsa, the top player in the class for next year, he's a freak of nature, guys. He's heading to BYU. Why is he heading to BYU and not Duke or Carolina or Kentucky? Because BYU said, hey, A.J., we're going to get you up to $7 million when it's all said and done.
Wow.
It's a different day. It's a different day and age. It's why Alabama and Auburn are at the top. Why the SEC had the best basketball non-conference performance by a conference we have ever seen in college basketball history. And not many people were talking about it because we're in such a football-driven world, and I get it. But everyone's like, why did the SEC do well, and why is it doing so well in basketball? Because the football pockets are so deep, they're getting bored. They've got other buddies. They got so much money they can dedicate into other sports. It's why they're going to win in baseball, softball, and everything in between. The rich get richer. So it's all about money. Rutgers didn't have enough to pay their players outside of two freshmen who, frankly, have been very good, but it hasn't. They don't understand the Big Ten, which is all about physicality and wear you down defense and the intricacies of the game. That's not these two kids.
Fantastic insight. John, we appreciate you, and we'll catch up with you next week, hopefully with some better news on the Browns front. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Hey, let's keep that good. We need good Browns news coming. Thanks,
we do. Thank you, John. John Fanner right there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I don't know what good Browns news we would have coming down the pipe, but maybe we'll have something good that pops up. And we have a theory on that maybe in the 6 o'clock hour we'll get to as well. We come on back, though. We're at to some of what John had to say. And I do want to get your thoughts at 216-474 to below 92. Shador has done everything in his power to tell you that he wants to play for the Browns. Do we have another indictment on that? More to come. It's Afternoon Drive right here on the Fan. Another plus one in the Jonathan Peterlin is just heading towards being right about this whole entire thing. I gotta give myself marks anytime we have it. You see, it feels like tomorrow we'll have Daryl on, and it's going to be 5 hours of me trying to convince Daryl that the quarterback at number two is the right call. Usually Nick's here, obviously Nick off today and tomorrow, and it's 5 hours of me and him going back and forth. And so I like that a weekly that we have here, and John Fanta is on Team Jonathan when it comes to Shador and Shador being the cure.
Yeah, it's a good day for you. It's a good day.
Listen,
we're on the same team, so you don't really get to – maybe it doesn't hit as hard. Maybe it's not the same feeling, the same gloating you get to do about it. But it's a win for you. You'll be able to tell Nick when he comes back. You'll be able to tell Daryl tomorrow. It's a win for you.
I do feel like we've been building up this, and I'll throw Jake Murren in the mix here, and Jake can attest. It feels like anytime somebody says something bad about Shador Sanders, I don't know why, but the show that I'm on races to go ahead and get them on the show. Like, Mac, you see how it's played out. I mean, anybody's like, oh, Shador Sanders can't cross the street right, and all of a sudden we got 7 phone calls out to get this guy on. kind of wild how it works. But one weekly we won't touch, John Fanta, because he's here every Tuesday at 4 o'clock. He's in for Shador, and it's a beautiful thing.
You might just have to have him, like, reattest every single week.
Well, I'm gonna. See, that the problem is that Nick will come back, and then Nick will make a lot of sense in a point that he makes, because Nick's good at this, and then all of a sudden, I don't want my guy John to go ahead and flip on me. See, I don't want that to have happen. Yeah, I've been doing this long enough to know how this works, and this is why I refuse to take a lot of victory laps, or I refuse to say I was right about how Andrew Berry thinks and operates. I refuse to do it, because right now, this is at the height of the Shador Sanders stock, and I know how this goes. There's going to be a two-week stretch about, like, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks from now, where all of a sudden Shador Sanders is just, his draft stock is in the toilet. Something will happen, something will get people mad, something will get people talking, and he'll go from Shador being the answer at number two overall to untouchable for a lot of people. And no footballs will have been thrown in this entire process, by the way. That's the most, that's the dumbest part about this whole equation. There will not be a single football thrown since the Pop-Tart Bowl, and everyone's going to change their mind on Cam Ward, and everyone's going to change their mind on Shador, and this is just how this works.
Well, this is very simple. The thing that's going to change everybody might be the fact that he plays with the Browns in Madden. That might be enough to get me to flip. That's a crazy take. What are we doing?
Let's play this audio. This is from the Well Off Media. This is Shador once again ingratiating himself towards Browns fans. Here we go.
Who do you play with?
I don't even play Madden. I can play Madden.
You know who I play with.
I can play with anybody, though. He can only play with one team.
What team?
Brown.
Okay. Okay.
I like how they're
getting ready.
I like how they move around, bro.
That's the only team he can play with. Anybody else? It's trash.
I like how they move around on there. I like the setup.
Now, it's not Shador saying everyone else is trash, by the way. That Shador is just the one being like, I like how they move around. I like the setup. This is 100% Shador playing into the idea that all Browns fans have wrapped their arms around Shador Sanders right now in this moment.
Yeah, no doubt. Like I just told you, I'm somebody who plays video games. I play Madden. Nobody wants to play with the Browns in Madden. It's not a good time.
I don't think you have to play video games for it to that be the knowledge. Yeah, it's just be an NFL fan and you understand. I haven't played Madden in 25 years. That's not true. That's not true. I bought one edition of Madden in college because it'd been so long since I played. I'm 35, and I bought it in college. I played two games against my roommate who's very good at video games. And I said, oh boy, this isn't very fun. And I stopped, and that was it. So it's been 15 years then, 15 years since I played Madden. But you don't have to play Madden to understand the Browns are not a very good team.
No, even like take into account Deshaun's probably more highly valued in Madden than he would have been in real life.
Oh, you think he's playing with Deshaun? I assumed it was like a make-a-player Shador Sanders in this situation.
No. He's playing with a Browns quarterback, whether it's Deshaun or they're playing with injured rosters and he's got Jameis Winston out there. They're playing with the quarterback.
Now that's the answer I want. There's no way he's doing this with Deshaun.
Oh yeah, 100%
he is. Zero chance.
No, this is like a play now game.
If you played right now with the Browns, that's Deshaun is the guy that every Browns fan in the city has to play with?
I mean, it's either Deshaun again or you're playing with injured rosters and you have Jameis.
I'd take the injured roster, I guess.
But yeah, probably.
There's no
same.
Way. Listen, I don't play video games. It's established by 30 seconds ago. I don't play video games anymore. There is no way I would play a video game with Deshaun Watson. I couldn't do it. I would throw up every time I saw four under center.
I mean, listen, as a Browns fan, it's tough. It's a rough feeling. But at
why
the same
are more
time,
people talking about this around the city? So many people play Madden. Every time you log in to play a game with the Browns, it's Deshaun Watson. Like, I assumed it defaulted to Jameis.
It might have at this point. It might have defaulted to Jameis. Like again,
just to save people.
You try to play in an online play now. It might give you Jameis Winston. But again, Deshaun's probably more highly rated in Madden. But even then. Like, nobody wants to play with the Browns. This is just Shador giving his, you know who's really going to like this? Browns fans are going to like this.
Because, but Browns fans will like this. That's the part of this. Is that Browns fans, I think the problem for Shador for so long was that Browns fans were worried he'd say no. They'd propose, they'd sit at the altar, and he'd say, no thanks, I don't want to get married to you. And I think Browns fans were genuinely worried about that. And all he's done in the previous couple months is tell you in various ways why that's not true. This has got to be very endearing to a Cleveland Browns fan in many ways. Jake, you've been around the city long enough. You've been around the team long enough. You know how this goes. Browns fans will eat this up.
Yeah, they will, but I'm a Browns fan, and I don't even like to play with the Browns on Madden. Again, I just don't think that it's like...
Well, yeah, it was a lie. It was a bold-faced lie. He doesn't love playing with Jerry Jeudy, okay? Like, that's... Yeah, throwing passes to Cedric Tillman, probably not the greatest time he's ever had, okay? But that's not the point. The point is that he continues to tell us in so many ways why he likes the Browns and why anybody that lived in this nonsense world that he wasn't coming here because of Deion or he wasn't coming here because he wouldn't enjoy playing with the Browns, This is not true.
No, so I was always the person who thought the Deion thing was never going to get in the way because I always compared it to LeVar Ball and the Ball brothers. Like, Deion basically, he'll go away less than LeVar did, but it won't be that impactful. He just wants to get drafted.
Well, Big Baller brand t-shirts were just not made of good quality. That's what happened there. I mean, just bad quality.
He was just trying to push his kids up in the draft, though. That's all he's doing. He's creating buzz, making people look and say, oh, they're actually good at basketball. And then their stock rises, and he's bringing attention to it.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chu's got the one injured, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. It's probably shouldn't have been wearing those first place. Pretty sure it was Lonzo. Okay, the guy's got every bone in his leg rubbing up against each other, and he's had like 3 surgeries so he can be back out on the floor. Probably a problem with the shoe a little bit. But the same thing. Deion's not going to cause the problem once you're there. I never thought that was going to be an issue. But the reality is Shador wants to endear himself to Browns fans and endear himself to the idea that the Browns could draft him because the Browns have the number 2 pick. Right, that's all this is. It's not like, I really love the Browns, and like I can see straight through this. Everybody should be able to see straight through. Let's think what the Browns would look like in a video game. Well, they were 3-14 this year. You really think anybody enjoys playing as the Browns, even on Madden, where again they're gonna show out and look better than 3-14? No, nobody enjoys that. It's an easy search through. The Browns draft at 2. If it had to have been His ploy that day was to get the Titans fans to endear him.
But it wasn't the Titans.
But it wasn't. But if he had to be, it would have been. It would have been, I love to play. But nobody, actually nobody loves it. That's the thing. You can almost believe, like, the Browns have good enough defensive pieces. Offensively, there's enough, like, okay weapons that you could sell that. You can't sell that you like to play as a Titan. I love rolling out there with Mason Rudolph. This is great.
Nobody could have done the Giants, a team that he once wore cleats that was Giants colors in a bowl game because he thought he was going to the Giants and be like, yeah, I like playing with Malik Nabers. It would be funny if there's, like, different videos of him doing this with each team that just kind of circulates in whatever fan base it is, because it'd kind of be like over the weekend. I'm sure you saw the report with Windhorst, and Windhorst was like, I already booked my tickets to Cleveland for the NBA Finals, and it went very, very viral. And then when you actually click in the articles, or you click in the content, it's like, yeah, he also booked his hotels for Oklahoma City, Boston, and Cleveland, because he did them for all three cities that could potentially be a finals destination. It's just, we clipped the Cavs part because we thought it was fun. It'd be funny if this is what happened with Shador, but there's no evidence to suggest that's what's happening here. He just genuinely likes the Browns.
So there's no evidence of that, but I think this is part of sort of the, and again, Shador camp here. I'm just poking holes in the theory in this one specifically.
And you want Shador.
Yes,
I do.
I'm here
for Shador.
I'm pro Shador through this whole thing.
Why can't we just accept that he likes the Browns and he's like one of the few quarterbacks that just desperately wants to be here?
Because as bad as I would love for that to be the case, I also have to stare at it objectively, and I know that's not the case.
Yeah, but he's given
I know
us the like Browns seven different reasons in the previous 2 months that suggest that he's more than excited to come play here.
But look, he'll give you the exact... He gave you that with the Giants, the cleats. He'll give you something to the Titans that we're probably not openly seeing as much on the media, or it's in the wings waiting to come, just so the fan bases accept Shador when he goes there, and the Titans owners and everybody else looking, oh, he likes our organization too. You don't think Jimmy has him sitting there, even if it's Madden, going, he likes to play with the Browns and Madden. I like that.
Of course
he
is. That's the guy that's pro. So many Browns fans today were like, yeah, hell yeah, you did, Shador. Oh yeah, you want to play with us? We know this team isn't good right now, and you're playing with us in Madden? Love that. Love that.
But that's all this is. It is the fact that he's Deion's kid. He knows how
he's
to work the
media. He's got to work harder, though, because he's Deion's kid. He's got to work harder to dispel the idea that Deion won't let him go play in some place.
Yeah, he does, 100%. But this is also the idea that Deion knew how to work the media. Shador also is going to know how to work the media. He's making fan bases and owners love what he has to say about their team and become endeared with the fact that it's no coincidence that it's pick two and pick three. He's not telling you, man, I love the Baltimore Ravens, because what does that do for you? They're not drafting you.
Brian and Lorraine has an idea on the Browns on Madden. All right, Brian, what do you got? Brian?
First of all, hello, gentlemen. Good afternoon.
Hello, Brian.
So there's actually a lot of people who do like to play with the Browns on Madden, and I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, they still have Nick Chubb listed as a superstar X factor on Madden, so he's still like the best running back in the game right now. On Madden. It won't change until next year when they put out the new Madden, and he'll probably be updated somewhere down in like the 70 overall, I would imagine. Number two, Deshaun Watson is, even though, you know, yeah, I would throw up seeing number four at quarterback playing on Madden, but he is still the best quarterback that the Browns have on Madden right now. So, I mean, you can sub in Jameis Winston, but
he's just not as good. What happened to the Madden ratings adjusters? They're supposed to be like updating these things every week. I thought that was a thing.
Well, when Deshaun's not on the field, you can't bring him down any further.
Right. Well,
I can.
At the end of the season, everything resets. Like at the end of the season, they reset it.
This game's worth like hundreds of millions of dollars, and they can't update to be like, oh, Deshaun sucks.
Welcome, JP. Welcome to the
what's going
life
on here?
Of a Madden player and dealing with EA.
How is Nick Chubb still great at football and Deshaun Watson awesome? What world are you living in? Why is Madden a year behind? Why is it lagging behind?
If you want that, that's a microtransaction. You got to pay a little extra for that.
A microtransaction?
Yeah. After you buy
the game, talking downtown.
No, not that one.
Easy now.
Yeah, microtransaction. You make a purchase within
Brian,
the game.
Brian, thanks for upsetting me. I appreciate you. I'm not upset by the idea that Nick Chubb is good. I'm more upset by the idea that a whole franchise exists and hundreds of millions of dollars are spent and revolved around this franchise, and nobody in the entire the whole office can't just be like, hey, we might have a problem with the idea that Deshaun Watson's the best quarterback on the team. We might have an issue here. What is that?
It's not on the field. You can't adjust his rating. He's not playing.
Yes, you can. Yes, I have. Yes,
you can. They won't.
What they need is they need like three sports talk radio hosts from each respective city and just pay them a very nominal amount to go ahead and be like, so what do we really think about this player? And then adjust accordingly each week. I'll throw my hat in the ring. I'll be the local Madden ratings adjuster for a very nominal fee to tell you what I really think about each player. And then I'm sure I would do better than living in a world where Nick Chubb is still one of the best running backs in the league and Deshaun Watson's good at football.
I'm sure I could do better. I'd have Jalen Darden as like an 80 overall. They're just like, he's not good. I'm like, but he looks good when he's returning punts. You gotta like it. Like he's getting close.
Comments like that is taking you off the list.
I don't want to be on the list.
It's taking you off the list.
I don't want an association with EA.
I'll take an association with everyone. If you got money, I'll take an association. NFL offseason officially here. There are plenty of changes ahead for the Browns roster. Meanwhile, the Cavs maintain their place atop the East as they look for home court advantage throughout the playoffs. Don't miss a minute of The Fan during your workday. Stream us at 923thefan.com or on your phone with the free Odyssey app. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan. The idea that a lot of momentum has moved towards Shedeur Sanders is fascinating to me. And I think a lot of it has to do with the idea that he continues to just be very vocal about wanting to be a Cleveland Brown, including the idea that when he plays on Madden, whether it's true or not, but when he plays on Madden, he says he likes playing with the Browns.
It's not true. There's just no way.
It's just not true.
I mean, listen, good move by him. I'm not saying it's a bad move. And you know I'm pro Shedeur, so I like things that make Shedeur look favorable in Cleveland. He's just, it's a blatant lie.
Doesn't he have a gamer tag or something that we can like, can you keep track of the games and what you play with?
Not if he's playing offline. You can't track it if it's offline.
No.
If he's playing with his buddies, it's just what it kind of sounds like. Is it? No.
In my mind, so I don't do any of the online stuff because when I was playing video games, we didn't have online, right? And it'd be so cool. I'm 35, not like 75, guys, but it'd be so cool growing up if we had that. I think about that all the time. And I'm jealous of friends of mine that they play together. They do all the different shooting games and stuff like that. And they'll all meet up and they'll play at night. And I'm just out on the conversations because I just don't play in that world anymore. And that's fine. It's not for me. But, like, in my mind, I always think of, you ever seen the movie? It's Vince Vaughn. It's Jennifer Aniston, The Breakup. And Vince Vaughn in that movie is playing with, like, a 10-year-old. And he's just talking so much crap to this 10-year-old kid. That's what I always think online interactions are revolving video games. I'd also be very scared that I'd get up and the people would just leave the game. That would bother me so much. But maybe it's not a thing that happens. I'm not sure.
No, it definitely happens, but there's things to counteract. If you're playing in any sort of like ranked system, you get given the win.
Well, like, wouldn't that be really cool to play against Shedeur?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure.
Like, is that a thing that happens? Have you ever played video games and just been like, oh, I'm playing against Kentavious Caldwell Pope now?
So it's actually really interesting. 2K basketball and for NBA, if you're playing online and you're in an area where you can also see a bunch of other players, you get put into lobbies. They'll put like professional athletes, there's like a symbol that you can tell this is a professional athlete's gamer tag, and you can basically figure out who it is, and then you can end up playing against them. Like, obviously a bunch of people flock to that person and are spamming trying to get into their game. Mm-hmm. But happens all the time.
Have you ever played against anybody?
I personally haven't gone up against anybody. I know that
I would talk so much trash.
My friend growing up though played against Connor McDavid in an NHL game, and
that's cool, he
got smacked around, just absolutely just bullied.
Yeah, I mean, some of these guys are very good. Like, LeBron is supposed to. LeBron claims he's like a top 100 Madden player. Whether that's true or not, I mean, LeBron's claims are pretty far and wide. But the man spends like 7 hours a day rehabbing. It wouldn't surprise me if he just happened to be great at Madden, if that's all he does in his free time.
Yeah, top 100 feels like a stretch, but I don't doubt he's probably good. I mean, what else are you doing? And you're playing basketball. It's not like LeBron is dedicated to his craft that much at 40, right? He is, but not so much of like, I need to be in the gym working every single second of every single day.
He spends like hours a day icing and doing rehab and making sure that his body is fine. He probably spends so much time doing, like, he'd have the ability to do so.
Yeah. Like, if you're icing, what else are you doing?
Right? You're just sitting on a table. It's not like he does like interviews or something like that in his time. He should start like a podcast or something that's not involved with JJ Redick and maybe also like ice and do that stuff there. But that's it's either here nor there. So the idea though is that with Shedeur, he's just continued to be vocal about wanting to be with the Browns. And anybody that comes to the table now at this point and says, no, Deion would block that, I have a mountain of evidence that suggests that Deion does not have a say in this equation, or Deion has already given his blessing, because Shedeur clearly wants to come here.
Yeah, that was almost another, it's so many like media stunts that I feel like are just planned out. The idea that Deion wasn't going to let him come here, one, was never something that was fully thrown out by Deion. Like, he commented on certain things. Maybe that's not where I'd want my kid to go to play, but there was never a, there's no doubt I'm blocking him from playing somewhere. And either way, it's Shador's reign at the end of the day. He could pick, but okay, Deion's not going to let him play here. It's just more stir, more attention, more media drawn to Shador. If the Browns draft him, will they keep him? That's a conversation we all have, right? Would they draft him even if Deion said no? That's a conversation that was had. And it was just more conversation around Shador. It's just more time spent talking about Shador. I operate under the fact that Deion, leading up to this process before he gets drafted, and Shador himself, every move they make is with the idea that me, you, and everybody across the national media speaks more about Shador.
Yeah, I mean, my theory in the initial part of the Deion connection was the idea that Deion was angling for a head coaching job, and so he was going to try to do whatever it took to get his son to be playing with him with as a head coach, and then he just realized the NFL doesn't want him. And so then he had to readjust. And that's why I think he's gone on the full attack of trying to make sure everyone knows that there's teams he'll let him play for, and the Browns are clearly on that list. All right, so I spent this past weekend, and it was my daughter's second birthday, and it was great. I had family come in town, and we did a lot of, I mean, my goodness, the amount of different, like, indoor parks that you can take a toddler to is insane. We went to multiple across the weekend. You pay so much money, and all they are basically the equivalent of, like, what a McDonald's playpen used to be, like, 25 years ago. You pay so much money, and you go in, and it's a big crock, but she has a great time, and that's all that really matters. But anyway, my sister came in town, and my sister got her, like, a dollhouse and got her all sorts of really expensive toys and everything, but she also got her a set of markers. And I think I hit fatherhood this morning when I watch Charlotte in the morning as I get ready for things and put everything together and all that before I go take her to her grandma and grandpa's house. And so I'm watching her, and she had been playing with these markers and just kind of using the coloring book. And for some reason, like, my sister got her these, like really, I don't want to call them, like, aggressive markers, because that just seems excessive. But they're, like, they're big girl markers, you know? Like, they can do real damage. And I turned my head for, like, 2 seconds, and she had marked up not only the entire part of our where our fireplace is, but then she moved to the couch and did just put it all on the couch. And I wanted to cry almost. Obviously, I didn't, and I tried my best to wipe it all off, but I think might have been the time I actually hit fatherhood. The point where your kid is drawing with markers on the wall, and there was no recourse. I was watching her, and she did it, and I'm like, no, stop, and that was it. I was too far away before I could do anything. Like, Jake, I'm telling you, it was awful.
There was no disciplinary action. There was no, like,
what am I doing? She's two years old. She's not going to understand that anyway. I'd be like, yeah, we don't do that. No. That's on me. I gave you the markers. I thought you were ready for it. I thought we hit the big time. You're two now. You can have markers. You can do it right. No, she just colored everywhere. It was a disaster.
I feel like this is a classic dad move. It's one where it's like, of course you let the kid have markers, and you turned away. You can't turn away when the kid has markers. Like,
but I was watching her. That was the sad part. I watched, like, her do it. My wife goes, what happened? Where were you? And I'm like, I was right there. I couldn't have been watching her any more than I was. And she just went straight from the book and moved it right over onto everything.
So, wait, did you, like, turn away in this instance?
And it I'm telling you, I'm looking right at her. It's just, I don't have
your headlights.
I don't have the get off, you know? I mean, the quick twitch muscles just weren't working for me.
No, that's not a quick twitch muscle.
I think I was shocked more than anything. I'm like, oh no, you're really doing it on the couch. And then I think my brain went to, well, somebody has to be the adult here and stop you. And it wasn't me.
So, yeah, this is, you were a deer in headlights. That's what happened here.
You went full waiter. You did the same thing with the waiter.
Exactly. Yeah. The waiter didn't help out with the Heimlich. I had to jump in and do the Heimlich. The same exact thing. Just sat there and watched her draw on the couch, and I'm like, oh, that's unfortunate.
Just onto the fireplace, you're like, why are you doing?
I just.
You're going to draw on the. I'm the father. I have to be the one
to step in here. Yeah. So it was an absolute disaster. And now I take the markers away. I'd be like, I guess you're not ready for these markers, which was very painful.
Yeah, that's...
We'll try again in 6 months, I guess.
You can't allow that. I just love the idea that you're sitting there, right? Coloring on the coloring book, perfectly good. And then all of a sudden, it's just no longer on the coloring book. And you're sitting there, essentially, arms crossed, being like, I wonder where this goes.
I had like a Jerry Seinfeld reaction to it, where it's like, that's unfortunate. Like, I didn't know what to do. And I know, in that moment, I'm not mad at her in the slightest bit. But I said, I guess we graduated to that. You moved from being able to do the coloring book to now you just draw everywhere.
Well,
so this fantastic.
This is sort of the push towards Well, terrible two started right at two, huh?
We call them the terrific twos. Yeah, we don't like the branding of the terrible twos. Yeah, they're the terrific twos. Terrible twos needs to work on their PR.
Well, I think the point was that it's bad PR, right?
No, she's terrific. They're the terrific twos, and that's how it's got to be. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to put a frame up right where she messed with the coloring, right near the fireplace, and it's going to be her own artwork that we just frame on the wall right there. That's going to be that'll be my next move.
Yes. Forget about the dissident player in action. Let's actually reward the act. This is when you started coloring on the walls.
Yeah, we got a real Picasso on our hands. Big station news next. Then we hit you with the lead. It's Afternoon Drive right here on the Fan.